Hello, my name's Ian Forth, and welcome to Sombrero Fallout, where we listen to alternative music through the prism of intriguing themes. Hello there, how's everyone doing? Pretty well, I hope. I'm fine, the family's fine. Toby, I'm round sitting at the kitchen table as the weather has turned autumnal and some much needed rain, so that's good here in Melbourne town. Tamsin is next door earning some much needed income for the fourth coffers, so that's good. Please carry on doing that. Oh, she just emerged from a meeting, is patrolling the corridor. Toby has been hammering on the door to try and get access to Tammy's room. He's been denied access and is now curled up at my feet. That gives you a thumbnail sketch of where we're at. Shush, Toby. Of where we are in the fourth household right now. We are going to do an episode today on fatal fame can play hideous tricks on the brain. So some perhaps of the downsides or the darker elements of fame rather than, well, it's what most songs about fame are, of course, rather than, there's a song by Iggy Pop called Success, which is almost a parody. We won't be playing that. That's what we're going to do. That's what you've got coming up. So we're going to be hearing from John Cale, Suicide, The Reds, Pinks and Purples, Black Box Recorder, John Cale, The Pop Guns, The Mountain Goats, Neil Young, Jay Dilla, Folly Group, Bell and Sebastian, old friends of the podcast. Who've I missed out? Somebody. The Damned, Suicide, have I mentioned them? But to get us off to a rambunctious start, this track I've just calculated is 57 years old. Doesn't sound it.
And if one day I should become a singer with a Spanish bum who sings for women of great virtue, I'd sing to them with a guitar I borrowed from a coffee bar. Well, what you don't know doesn't hurt you. My name would be Antonio, and all my bridges I would burn. And when I gave them some, they'd know I'd expect something in return. I'd have to get drunk every night and talk about virility with some old grandmama who might be decked out like a Christmas tree. And though pink elephants I'd see, though I'd be drunk as I could be, still I would sing my song to me about the time they called me Shaggy. If I could be for only an hour, if I could be for an hour every day, if I could be for just one little hour, a cute in a stupid ass way. And if I joined the social world, became procurer of young girls, then I would have my own bordellos. My record would be number one, and I'd sell records by the ton, all sung by many other fellows. My name would then be Handsome Jack, and I'd sell boats of opium, whiskey that came from Twickenham, authentic queers and phony virgins. If I had banks on every finger in every country, and all the countries ruled by me, I'd still know where I'd want to be. Locked up inside my opium den, surrounded by some Chinamen, I'd sing the song that I sang then about the time they called me Shaggy. If I could be for only an hour, if I could be for an hour every day, if I could be for just one little hour, a cute in a stupid ass way. Now tell me, wouldn't it be nice that if one day in paradise I'd sing for all the ladies up there, and they would sing along with me, we'd be so happy there to be, 'cause down below is really nowhere. And if my name were Juniper, then I would know where I was going, and then I would become all-knowing. My beard so very long and flowing. If I became deaf, dumb, and blind because I pitied all mankind and broke my heart to make things right, I'd know that every single night. When my angelic work was through, the angels and the devil too would sing my childhood song to me about the time they called me Shaggy. If I could be for only an hour, if I could be for an hour every day, if I could be for just one little hour, a cute, cute, in a stupid-ass way.
Great use of the Glockenspiel there. That's from 1967 and the first Scott Walker LP. That was Jackie. Not sure what the hell he's going on about there, but definitely something to do with fame, I would say. Now, I have had a lovely letter which came out of the blue, well, literally from Cromarty in northern Scotland, from a chap called Jamie Pond, who's basically just said, "Can I help?" And he makes websites. His company do, a company called Plexus Media. And my goodness, I don't know what to say, really. He's been incredibly helpful. We've been ping-ponging emails as we're developing. Well, what we're doing is redeveloping the existing website, sombrerofallout.com, which has, you know, there's a good stab, but it's basically me trying to follow YouTube videos on how to put a website together, which is, you know, it's not what you... If you were IBM, you probably wouldn't put the person who didn't know about websites in charge of it. Anyway, so Jamie has been incredibly helpful, and we're trying to put that together. And we're also putting together a website for the new podcast I'm working on. Anyway, I will talk a bit more about that in time, but a big shout out to Jamie Pond up there in Cromarty, I think it is. What a nice man. Right, so that was 1967. Let's come right back into the 2020s with the next track.
I learned to call home. Don't let me ask you to leave me alone, cause then I'll have
fewer closer friends, the conjugated men, the only ones left, all pillars of regret. Ideology conceals, ideology reveals. Fewer closer friends, the worrying cracking men.
There's a blind spot in my memory, the mask's an awkward collision with what I wanted to be. So I swapped out a dog tag and pretend that I'm free. There's a blind spot in my memory. I am desperate to be admired. There's this desperately selfish demon I've acquired. So I run in the mornings, but the fucker's not tired. I am desperate to be admired, cause then I've
fewer closer friends.
2021 and the album Awake and Hungry. That's Folly Group and Fewer Closer Friends. And thank you to them. That was them making their debut, as was Scott Walker before them, as is going to be the next track as well. And I went into town with Tamsin last Friday night to Rocksteady Records to see a gig at the suggestion of my friend David by Winter McGuinn. It's rather unusual. It's a very small record shop. So there was about 17 or 18 of us in there. It was very good. Very nice little set. Launching Winter McGuinn's album. I think he's the he plays for Some Fruits normally. That's his sort of day job. It was good. And on the wall of Rocksteady Records, which is owned by Pat, who I was introduced to by David, who I know sent a book out to a friend of Sombrero Fallout, Warwick Allen on the Triffids. So I had a little introduction there. But on the wall of Rocksteady Records in Melbourne was an album. I thought, oh yes, this track from that would fit on this particular episode. It heavily samples 10cc's The Worst Band in the World. All because of circumstances way beyond control, we became the darlings of this thing called rock and roll. So although this track doesn't necessarily talk a great deal perhaps about fame, the track on which it's based does. And I have played 10cc a bit in the past, but I've never played this particular artist. And it's such a great track. I've been looking for an excuse to play it. So here it is. Working on It by Jay Dilla from his album from 2006 called Donuts, sampling 10cc's Worst Band in the World from their 1974 album Sheep Music. And any of the first four 10cc albums are all excellent, great run. some of their approach, their kind of smart, culturally aware approach, doesn't necessarily sit well in today's world. Just sounds clumsy and on some occasions downright offensive. Now, if that kind of thing annoys, irritates, or worse, then don't listen. But if you can kind of suspend your belief that they were malevolently motivated, which I don't think they were, then I think those albums are still very good. It's a difficult one, isn't it? Okay, two tracks coming off about very much the dark side of the American dream, in particular the obsession with guns and when they get into the wrong hands. And I think these tracks are made all the more resonant by being spoken, sung in the first person. Makes them visceral and dreadful, but amazing tracks nonetheless.
Population down. whatever death metal band out of Denton with a couple of guys who'd been friends since grade school. One was named Cyrus, the other was Jeff, and they practiced twice a week in Jeff's bedroom. The best ever death metal band out of Denton never settled on a name, but the top three contenders after weeks of debate were Satan's Fingers and the Killers and the Hospital Bombers. Jeff and Cyrus believed in their hearts they were headed for stage lights and Learjets and fortune and fame. So in script that made prominent use of a pentagram, they stenciled their drumheads and guitars with their names. And this was how Cyrus got sent to the school where they told him he'd never be famous. And this was why Jeff, in the letters he'd write to his friend, helped develop a plan to get even. When you punish a person for dreaming his dream, don't expect him to thank or forgive you. The best ever death metal band out of Denton will in time both outpace and outlive you. Hail Satan! Hail Satan! Tonight, hail Satan! Hail, hail!
Best ever death metal band in Denton by the Mountain Goats from their 2002 album All Hail West Texas. We played the next track on that album, The Fall of the High School, Star High School Running Back, which could in some ways have fit it into this episode as well, actually, very neatly. Or could it? Yeah, I think it probably could. It's got the word star in it, for example. Before that, you heard Revolution Blues by Neil Young, who's back on Spotify for those who are interested in these things, along with Joni Mitchell, somewhat reluctantly, because Joe Rogan's still on there, which was the ostensible reason why he left in the first place, or indeed the actual reason. Revolution Blues from On the Beach from 1974, and as one of the darkest, grimmest songs, probably the darkest album, along with Tonight's the Night, that Neil Young ever recorded. Going through a little bit of a Neil Young phase at the minute. That happens, doesn't it? You go through little phases. I haven't listened to The Fall, for example, for a while, and then I heard a track from them recently and had a little Fall phase. I find that the bands that you know, that your premium elite bands, your go-to bands, you can go through quite long periods, a bit like seeing a friend and not see them for ages, and then you very easily fall back into conversation with them, if I can extend that metaphor for a bit, which I just have done. There's a sound of a dishwasher doing its thing in the background. I don't know if you can hear that. I often refer to the building works when I'm outside, until my friend Seeds pointed out you can't actually hear the building work at all. On the podcast, which was news to me, because I don't always listen back to the podcast. I think a lot of people do that when you've done it, it's over, it's sorted. I'm not going to kind of curl up with it a few days later and, oh, I wonder what this is. Oh, yes, it's the podcast I recorded. There's something about hearing your own voice. You want to give yourself a bit of distance. Sometimes I listen to an old podcast many weeks or months or occasionally even years later. Interesting. Next track.
Lover, do not follow me. I will
Caesar by the Popguns from last year. Keep finding these tracks that could easily have made it into the festive 40 from last year, but that's fine. Means I can keep playing new tracks. That's their debut on the programme. And I suppose if you were to point to one figure in history whose fame led directly to his demise, then Julius Caesar would be very much a candidate. There's a few others, mind you. And when I was in Rome last year, I actually went and had a look at the spot in which Julius Caesar was assassinated. Was it 44 BC, I think? My Brutus and Cassius and his henchmen. It was quite interesting. It's a cat sanctuary now. It's kind of nice, from the sublime to the ridiculous, or something along those lines. Now, talking of famous figures from history who came to untidy ends and had songs about them, created by indie groups fronted by females. It's a small category, but here's another example.
It seems like years ago that the headlines read, Lord Lucan is missing. Lord Lucan is missing. Lord Lucan is missing. Lord Lucan is missing. Fleet Street looked everywhere, and the police did too. Lord Lucan is missing. 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 Lord,
Yeah, that's Lord Lucan Is Missing by Black Box Recorder from 1998. And for those of you too young to remember Lord Lucan, he disappeared after his nanny was murdered in Mayfair or Belgravia, one of those places that posh people like to live. And it was an unsolved murder. I wonder what happened to Lord Lucan. He's probably shored up. I hope he's not living in Melbourne. I hope I, you know, don't rub shoulders with him in the local cafe. It'd be very annoying if it turned out that that was Lord Lucan. Now, I have been beavering away on my new podcast called Vinyl Maelstrom. I've got a trailer out, and if you're a friend of Sombrero Fallout, or a friend, I will have sent out the trailer, which actually is already available, I believe, on wherever you get your podcasts, on Spotify, even on Apple. So I'm going to be on Spotify for this one, so that's exciting news for those who like listening to things on Spotify. It's going quite well. There's a lot of details that I don't remember sorting out for Sombrero Fallout the first time. I just sort of plunged in, but I'm trying to get this one exactly right, so it'll be a week or two before we launch off. I'm doing my first interview tomorrow with Sarah Bailey, crime novelist, and she's going to be talking about music in music and thrillers, I guess, and music and books and so on. So that'll be an interesting interview. I say that, I hope it will be. She's a friend as well, so that helps. It'll ease me into the interview process. Now, a couple of tracks with the words pop and stars in the title, so they're very much on brand for this episode.
Thank you.
Hop Along and Tibetan Pop Stars from 2012 and their album Get Disowned, and before that from 1980, the first and best, in my opinion, song by Altered Images from Glasgow. That's Dead Pop Stars, sung by Claire Grogan. I used to work with Claire Grogan's sister. Well, I say that, I was in the same agency as her. Don't think I actually ever even said hello, but definitely was her sister, because everyone said that's Claire Grogan's sister. I also used to work with Mike, Martin Hannett's brother, Mike, as well. He's a lovely chap, and have one or two just small conversations with him about his brother. But it's a sad story, and I didn't want to intrude on personal grief. Tapful's my middle name. And talking about dead pop stars, here's another kind of thematic song along those lines from another band, and we're having a lot today, who are making their debut on the programme.
Is it too late from early grave? Work hard, work hard. Never paid, never climb the charts. Destroy the stage, brush with fame, or join the hip parade. Or maybe the lower rung back in the day. It's too late. It's too late. Beat down again. No wonder you're afraid. They can throw you away if you don't work every day. If you're sick, well that's okay. Make sure you punch the clock anyway. Overcome
play the game. Changed, no reward to end the day. Never climbed the charts, destroyed the stage. Brush with fame, or join the hit parade. From the cradle to the grave, we are caved. No one was saved.
A game from last year, 2023, that's the Reds, Pinks and Purples, and from his or their album, The Town That Cursed Your Name, that's Too Late for an Early Grave. Good title, well done. Good song too. We don't play too many pure punk songs. There aren't actually that many good ones in a way, and it's a bit hard to say what were the punk songs. I mean, there are some, obviously. I think that the following group would certainly, I think most people say, early examples from this band definitely would count under the category of punk song. But when you actually listen to them now, they sound more like a continuation of the early 70s bands like the Stooges and the Ramones and the New York Dolls. But they... some of them sound better than others. Some haven't worn the test of time too well, but it's been a very long time since I heard this track, and I thought it sounded pretty good. It's On Strategy, so here it is.
We'll be right back.
from that fabled year, 1977, and from the album Damn Damn Damned. Have you guessed it? Yes, the name of the artist was The Damned, and that was the track Fan Club. And another group that was on the scene in that year, 77, were the following artists, who then came up with a second album in 1980 that hardly anyone listened to, but the opening track from it's pretty good, and it sounds like this. That's from 1980. It's Diamonds, Fur Coat, Champagne from Suicide, from their second album. It's pretty good. We've been, tell you something else that's pretty good. We've been watching the series Ripley, which is the Netflix version starring Andrew Scott of The Talented Mr. Ripley by Patricia Highsmith. It's probably the closest to the book, and I recommend the books very much. There's a trilogy. And even if you've only seen the Jude Law, Matt Damon, Gwyneth Paltrow film, it's seemingly well written. She's got other stuff as well, which is well. I went to see the play actually with Sarah Bailey, funnily enough, who I'm going to interview tomorrow. Things come full circle. So it's the story, honestly, is pretty well known. Particularly most people have seen the film who've been watching the series. But the cinematography, it's like walking through a photography exhibition. It's incredible. I've never seen anything that looks quite as good as that. Hats off to the team who did that. And Andrew Scott's a very good actor as well. Right, now then, Talking of debuts, there seems to be a bit of a theme on the programme. Here's an artist who is generally very well known, but here's a rather obscure track by them. I won't say who it is, as is my wont. And by the way, the reason I do that is because whenever I used to listen to John Peel late at night, I used to enjoy it when I would tune into his radio programme late on, halfway through a track. And I thought, I remember many times thinking, I really like this track. I can't wait to get to the end of the track and find out who it is. It's not quite the same when you're told who it is beforehand. So, have a listen to this. If you can work out who it is. It's a famous artist with a fairly obscure track. Over to you. From the album 1999, although released in 1982, when 1999 would have seemed something rather futuristic, like 1984 must have done in 1948. And this album, this episode, by the way, is being recorded in 2024 to bring all our dates full circle. That's All the Critics Love You in New York. I'm sure most of you perhaps will have worked that out. It was Prince. Once we discovered it was 1999, the album, and the least popular track on that album, but very much on message for us. Right, we're just going to bow out with a last little segue.
Thank you. lot of style. I'd hate to see you on the pile of nearly made it. You've got the essence, dear. If I could have a second skin, I'd probably dress up in you.
You're a star now. I'm fixing people's nails, I'm knitting jumpers, I'm working after hours. I've got a boyfriend, I've got a feeling that he's seeing someone else. He always had a thing for you as well. Though in the face of my rivals, I swear and rant, I make quite an arrival. The men are surprised by the language, they act so discreet. They are hypocrites, forget them. So fuck them too.
Well, first you heard Antarctica Starts Here, the last track on John Cale's album Paris 1919 from 1973. So many dates tonight. And recorded in an accent so hushed, it's actually quite hard to hear what John's saying there, but he's actually singing about a fading star. Maybe someone's pointed out a little tribute to Nico, slightly barbed tribute perhaps. And maybe not, who knows, but... lovely track, rather neglected. After that, Dress Up In You by Belle and Sebastian, one of Stuart Murdoch's finest, from The Life Pursuit from 2006. And I thought thematically that shared a territory with Hackensack by The Fountains of Wayne from last week's episode. And I think I'm not alone there. Alan Engel wrote in to say that Hackensack track is perhaps the perfect pop song. I queried whether it was a little melancholy, but he said I don't think that should disqualify it, and maybe he's right. Thank you, more broadly, to some people who've been writing in to Friends of Sombrero Fallout. Quite a lot of the usual folk, but one or two. Narelle Walker doesn't always write, and it was lovely to hear from her. Thank you, Narelle. And some people commenting favourably and encouragingly on the new prospect of a podcast from me, Vinyl Maelstrom. Also, Eric Gagnon-Poulin has found a busker who he particularly liked the cut of the jib off, who's posted, and he was very good. Thank you for posting that, Eric. Stuart Dade wrote in with a new band that he discovered, Mary in the Junkyard, and their track Ghost. So thank you for that, Stuart. And Adrian Langford wrote in, said, not really of interest to Sombrero Fallout listeners. Well, we'll be the judge of that, Adrian. And an article on the 1974 Eurovision Song Contest and ABBA, so it's a broad church. I actually quite like Melancholy ABBA, but I'm unlikely to play a track by ABBA on this podcast. So there we have it. Toby in the background. Thank you very much for listening, as ever. And hopefully I'll have more news of my new podcast when we last meet. Next meet, let's hope I'm more professional when it comes to the new podcast. Don't bank on it. Okay, have a great fortnight coming up. Bye for now. Cheers.
Separation is divine. Here's a strike.